Well, good evening, Harvest family. Trust everyone.
Woo!
Well, thank you. Thank you. I know I've had some primary teachers and nursery workers did not think I would make it this long. So there's still hope for others as well. Well, good. Glad you're here tonight. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Before I forget, there are some of the cards that came in for our cantata, so you want to grab some on your way out to invite friends and neighbors, or cards are out in the foyer if you want to pick some of those out. So pray for them. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get started tonight. Father, we love you so much, and thank you for my church family. Thank you for another year that you've given me in service, Lord, in life in general. Lord, thank you so much. It's been a joy today to get the phone calls from the kids and the grandgirls coming by this afternoon, Father. Thank you so much. And now, Father, bless our time together tonight. May you be uplifted and glorified in and through our services. May we lift our hearts and voices as we worship together. In Jesus' name, amen, Father. Now, Lord, bless our time together tonight in your word as we continue in the book of Proverbs. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. All right, hopefully folks have a handout or remembered your handout from last time as we had made a little shift in what we did this past week. So trust that you have your handouts tonight, and we'll look at those in the book of Proverbs, and we'll read one passage of scripture and get started tonight. We'll see how much time we have and how far we go tonight, Proverbs, and we'll spend a few weeks on Proverbs on abundance or financial success, Proverbs chapter 14. And the Bible says in verse 23, and we'll read this again in just a moment, more, the bulk of tonight will be introduction. In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. And that is reference to poverty. And so we'll talk a little bit about that tonight. And again, I understand that I don't know if anyone here tonight is having that problem, but hopefully those who are listening by internet or those that may visit us through this series will be a help to them. This before I went on vacation, we finished up on abomination, as you remember. That's abomination, something, a disgusting thing, something that is terrible, morally repulsive or wicked. And we looked at three things: abominations to God, abominations to good men, and then also abominations to bad men. And that's, if we're living the life that we should live as to believers, we are an abomination to the lost and the ungodly. And so tonight we'll go a little further in our journey through the book of Proverbs and look at the word abundance. And but first, allow me to take some time to compare the book of Psalms and the book of Proverbs as kind of an introductory to this. Psalms focuses on the relationship of man to God. The book of Proverbs focuses on man's relationship to man. Psalms is a songbook. Proverbs is a guidebook. Psalms is a book of worship, but Proverbs is a book about work. Psalms is used in our prayer closet, and Proverbs is used in the business office. Psalms is doctrinal. Proverbs is practical. Psalms leaves us on our knees, but Proverbs puts us up on our feet. So Alexander McLaren is a Scottish Baptist minister and writer, and he referred to Proverbs as the businessman's book. And one of the practical topics in his book is the issue of abundance and financial success. Dear friends, we live in a world today that puts a premium on having abundance, especially in the area of wealth. There's nothing wrong with having wealth. There's nothing wrong with having abundance, but it's how we use it and if it's our priority in life. See, the world believes that life is all about abundance, and they desire wealth, love, and luxury. The abundance of blessings can be a wonderful thing if the abundance does not drown out our concern for others. Those are our first set of blanks tonight. There's nothing wrong with abundance, but if it is speaking so loud, it is the white noise in our head and our drive for things, that it will drown out the concern for others and the opportunities for ministry. Abundance can alienate your walk with God. It can decrease your love for your spouse and can cause you to be annoyed with the guidelines for godliness in God's word. Again, it doesn't have to, but it can. When we scan the pages of Proverbs, we find insights into the gems, as in diamonds, G-E-M-S, the gems of abundance. There's nothing wrong with having abundance, but again, do you have abundance or does abundance have you? Do you hunger and desire for abundance or do those things go after you? So when we scan through the pages again of Proverbs, we find insights into this. We also find Solomon addressing the issue of the problems associated with abundance. What happens if you strive for abundance in the wrong way or if you cannot properly deal with your abundance? I know you've heard this before, but they say statistics are very high that many people have won the lottery and many people feel like it's enough for a lifetime, burn through it in a short period of time. Again, priorities being straight. These questions are referring to what happens. These questions are as relevant today for us as they were in the days of Solomon over 1,000 years ago. The questions are relevant because Proverbs of Solomon are God's word. We have to remember that. Follow his words and heed its sayings, and you will be bound with blessings. You will be abounded with blessings. So let's look first of all at gems, G-E-M-S, of abundance. We will again look at, we will not necessarily deal with finances alone, but with the issue of fullness and a multitude or abundance of things. So letter A under number one, the gems of abundance. Hard work and diligence lead to abundance. Hard work and diligence lead to abundance. I think for many people, work is a four-letter word. Being diligent is something that is hard to grasp. See, we live in a society today where many people want to abound with many things, but they are not willing to work for it. This is the stage of life that we're living in today. They simply want something for nothing. And it's not a matter of poverty. It's not a matter of having great needs. They just want something for nothing. I remember we were missionaries in a third world country. If you saw a line forming, it didn't matter what it was. You just got in it because of that many people were willing to wait. It must be something good. Because, again, they lived in poverty. But that's not always the case with those wanting abundance. They simply want something for nothing. Some have been spoiled by their parents who did not teach them the value of work but gave everything to them, so to say, on a silver platter. They have developed many characters or have not been taught responsibility. They have not developed any character at all. Solomon clearly teaches that diligence and hard work lead to blessings. I was raised by two farmers. I was raised by a mom and dad who knew what work was and was determined that their children would know what work was. Again, back to our text, Proverbs 14:23. In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury or to poverty. See, it is one thing to have goals and dreams and tell people what you're going to do, but it's something different if all you do, your talk will be cheap, easy, and will end in poverty if that's all you can do is talk. Talking requires no effort. Talkers who are not walkers waste their time and the time of others. Talkers who are not walkers waste their time of others. So did you ever realize that now that you are not going to get anything by doing simply nothing? I know I'm talking to a crowd that knows this, but hopefully maybe via internet or having an opportunity to talk with someone here in the coming days or weeks or months. See, it is one thing to talk, but it is another plan to work your plan in order to achieve your goals. I know my daughters were talking today about one of their granddaughters going to the store and buying some clothes. They're all excited about this birthday money. And of course, they didn't work for it. They just had a birthday and trying to teach them. And they get rings up everything. And it comes to a point and they look at it and they thought, that's going to take all of my money. It's all going to be gone. But of course, they got what they wanted. And that's a good opportunity in teaching them about laboring and working. And things do cost. I have pulled my hair out trying to teach my granddaughters when it's 120 degrees outside, when we lean out the sliding glass door, that costs money. We have a generation that we live in today that doesn't seem to understand that. Solomon says, there is profit in all labor. The word profit is from the word mothar, which means abundance, profit, success, or superiority. Profit, again, using this word here, is produced by labor, which is from another Hebrew word, and it means pain, hurt, hardship, emotional sorrow, labor, or toil. Many of us are fortunate to don't know what it's like to go without, that don't know what it's like to go without a meal or having to plan for only one or two meals a day because of their finances or their circumstance. You see, having success or being very good at what you do demands diligent labor. And dear friends, not just in success with abundance of things, it also requires diligence in our success and fruit-bearing spiritually. And being diligent, going after the ones that we're praying for. And not just saying, Lord, send someone, but Lord, help me to be the one that goes, or help me to be diligent about my prayer life and about my witnessing. Again, if you want to abound, be diligent. Thomas Edison said, I never did anything worth doing by accident, nor did any of my inventions come by accident. They came by work. My dad used to say, and I don't know if it's my dad or he was repeating my grandfather or he was repeating someone else, but he used to say, the best way to hear money jingle in your pocket is to shake a leg. The best way to hear money in your pocket is to jingle, to shake a leg. Hard work and diligence is demanding, and so few people put it to work. You see, opportunity is missed by most people today because it is dressed in overalls and looks like work. Another saying of my father and my grandfather. Opportunity is missed by most people because it is dressed in overalls and looks like work. See, if you want to abound in business, in your studies, in sports, in your Christian service, your spiritual growth, or in having a wonderful marriage, then work at it diligently. What are things that we would like to see more of an abundance of in our life, in our spiritual life? Would we like to see more of an abundance in our grandchildren or our children's life? Then we need to diligently set the example and teach them when we have opportunity. If you want to have a great church that honors God, then work at it individually, collectively. We must stop making excuses for why we can't get anything done or accomplished, and we just need to just go out and do the hard work. If you need good grades, study. If you need money, get a job and work hard. I can remember my dad on many occasions with me and my brothers about wanting something and saying, well, what are you going to do this summer to earn it? I remember we moved from Florida to East Tennessee when we lived in Florida. I'm so glad we did move to East Tennessee. We had about an acre lot, and it seems like I was mowing the grass twice a week, and it would take me a day and a half. So three days out of 7 days, I was pushing that mower around the yard after school and in the summer throughout the week. And there, we lived out in the middle of nowhere. We had about 22 neighbors over 500 acres of swampland. But when we moved to East Tennessee, Dad said, son, it's going to be a little bit different here in East Tennessee. Some of the things I provided for you, is able to provide for you, because we lived so far out, there wasn't too many neighbors to work. You're going to need to not get a job, but you're going to start your own business. You're going to have a business. You're going to want those jeans and those tennis shoes and that bicycle. So my dad bought me my first lawnmower, bought me 5 gallons of gas, and gave me a file and said, son, go at it. So what am I going to do? How much are you going to pay me? Oh, I ain't paying you nothing. You're mowing our grass in return for payment of this lawnmower, but you're going to knock on doors and ask people that like their lawn mowed, and you're going to earn you some money. See, Mom would take us down to buy our clothes that we wanted for school and other things, but Mom would not buy name brand. It was Kmart when I was growing up. If I wanted the Levi's, she said, that's fine. You pay the difference. You wanted the name brand shoes, the Converse high tops, back, that was a thing back in my day. Well, then you had to pay the difference. Then the pennies or the Sears or Roebuck shoes, would have to pay the difference. They taught us a work ethic, and that concerns me in many ways, and I know many of you know what I'm talking about. I'm preaching to the choir. But we need to get a grasp, and we need to not give up, and we need to set the example in other areas for the younger generation. It is so important to be a God-dependent person. That's that next blank, I think. It is so important to be a God-dependent person. See, without God's help, we cannot do anything or accomplish any of our goals if we're striving to please the Lord. If we thumb our nose at the Lord and turn our back on Him, we can very easily cause our labors to fail. God's people found this out the hard way in Haggai's day. You know, you turn in your Bible in the book of Acts, and it says the Acts of the Apostles. Could you imagine what might be written in a chapter of your life or the life of Harvest Baptist Church? What would be written about your life? What would be written about our life individually or collectively? Here in the book of Haggai, God's people found out the hard way about things and not having the right work ethic or not being God-dependent. Haggai 1:9 says, "You looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, it did blow upon it." I did blow upon it. "Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man to his own house." They were concerned about self and their things. God wasn't first. Haggai chapter 2 and verse 17. "I smote you with blasting and with mildew and with hail and all the labors of your hands, but ye turn not to me, saith the Lord." Psalm 127 and verse 1. "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman walketh but in vain." You see, laboring for the Lord is not to be drudgery, but a blessing. See, we can't just complain about another generation, a younger generation, not having a work ethic, not willing to work for it, not willing to shake a leg to hear that jingle, and us not be willing to do it in the spiritual aspect of serving the Lord and going out and witnessing and doing our part in our prayer life or Bible study, but in ministering through our local church. Have you ever thought or asked what a yoke is really for? It is to take the burden of the animal that wears it. No. It is to make the burden light. It is to help them with their job. When a plow is attached to the oxen and custom fit as it should be, in any other way than by that yoke, the plow would be intolerable for the animal to pull. See, a yoke is not an instrument of torture. It is an instrument of mercy. It is not a malicious means for making harder work. And sometimes we feel the labors for the Lord is hard, and it can be, but it is a gentle device to make hard labor light. And again, in fact, the yoke was custom to fit the animal so that it could fit properly and not harm the animal. And often it was a more senior, stronger, older animal along with a younger one sometimes to teach them. And that aspect can help us to remember the older teaching the younger and being an example in mentoring a younger generation. You see, the yoke is not meant to give pain, but to save pain. Yet men speak of the yoke of Christ as if it were slavery and look upon those who wear it as objects in need of compassion. But Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28 through 30, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give unto you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me help you pull the weight. Let me help you through your trial. Let me help you through what you're trying to do for me. And learn of me," he says. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." See, just as the yoke was custom fit for the ox, God's yoke, God's will for us is custom fit as well, just for us. He has a specific personal plan and purpose for each believer. Sometimes it is hard. Sometimes we don't understand. But are we guilty of what we blame a younger generation of not having a good work ethic? How is our spiritual work ethic? How are we doing not just in sitting and soaking the word, not just in sitting and talking to God, but what about coming alongside others, helping them out? I mentioned the caregivers ministry. I mentioned other opportunities in this coming year, trying to strategize some things and property care and parishioner care and pastoral care and things that need to take place in our community and even within our church. And it takes work. It takes diligence. It takes making a decision on purpose to do it. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 4 says, "The soul of the sluggard desireth and have nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. See, God has a specific personal plan and purpose for each and every believer from birth until death, until the time you are rebirthed, born again, until death. Yeah, you may not be able to get up and go like we used to, but still, in every phase of our life, God has a ministry and a purpose and a plan for us. The word desireth here in Proverbs 13, the soul of the sluggard desireth, is a strong, intense word from the Hebrew word avah, which means to desire, not only means to desire, but to covet, to be greedy, to long for, or to lust after. See, lazy people have an appetite for many things, but have nothing because they're not willing to work for it. We need to make sure we're not lazy spiritually, but have a desire to have a good, strong, motivational, spiritual work ethic and laboring for the Lord. On the other hand, the diligent, those individuals that work hard and are not slothful or slothful in business will be made fat. It says here, and have nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. This does not mean they will gain weight, praise the Lord. The word fat here is from the word dashan, which means to become prosperous and to have in an abundance. So let me ask, is your soul fat? Is your soul prospering? Is your soul in abundance for your in your labors? Beloved, don't waste the time that God has given you to live for Him, but strive to be a blessing to others. Not just of self, and not just family, but striving to be a blessing to others. Don't throw away the opportunities that God gives us each and every day. You know, I don't agree with Calvin's doctrine, but I respect his work ethic. I think we all know some people that we don't agree with their lifestyle, but we can respect their work ethic. On his deathbed, Mr. Calvin, his friends came to him and pleaded with him to refrain from his labors, even knowing that he had a death sentence. Here's what his reply was. What? Would you have the Lord find me idle when he comes or takes me home? Up until the very end, he wanted to serve. Dear friend, are you prospering because you are hard at work and a God-dependent believer? Folks, I know there's nothing that I can do without the Lord. I have to pray and ask Him to help me in my study. I pray to help me in my counseling and witnessing and encouraging others. When I arrived at the Stones home, bowing a little prayer, knowing, Lord, I don't know how Bob's going to be from last month and just before I visited him, before we went back east on vacation. I don't know how he's going to be. I'm not sure how I can minister to him. I'm not sure how I can minister to Miss Bonnie. But Lord, help me to do what I can do. I think I found out by being there, the biggest thing that I did was just to listen. Just to listen. I heard some stories that day from both men that they told three times over a 45-minute period. But I laughed along with them every single time. I cried with Miss Bonnie when she wept over her concerns. She asked me a question, and I think you all understand with me. She said, Pastor, it would be so much easier if it was cancer. And I thought for a moment. I said, Miss Bonnie, I agree 100%. I don't want to have to face that as a man. I think I'd rather fight cancer than to fight the battle of my mind. Sometimes we don't know how to minister to others, but you'd be surprised by just simply saying, Lord, how can I minister to that person? Not just someone we know, but Lord, how can I? Lord, give me the words to say as I check out at this cash register, at Walmart, at Fry's, at Safeway, wherever you are. Lord, give me wisdom of the words to start a conversation with that young man or young woman that's serving my table. Lord, give me the words to help me to say something that might make a difference in their life. Sometimes we miss the big picture or the small picture because we make it really bigger than it is. Dear friends, it's all about having the right work ethic in life and be able to enjoy our later life and our kids and our grandkids and our senior years. But life doesn't start there. We also need to have a good work ethic in our spiritual life. And the best way to set the example for a younger generation and their work ethic for making a living is let them see our work ethic in serving the Lord and serving one another. And tell them these things have carried over from my younger days and from my time of work, and let them see how important it is in our life and our ministry and our effort, because our work is not done until the Lord calls us home. I know you will agree with me, but there's no doubt in my mind, I do want to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I want to serve when I can, while I can, as much as I can. And I'll close with this thought, and I really mean it this time. On my last visit with my father, and hopefully, Lord willing, he'll have us still be sharp and we can go fishing again with my brothers in April. But I said, "Dad, how are you doing?" Just me and him. I think Michelle might have went downstairs to do something. Mom went to the bathroom. I said, "Dad, really, how are you doing?" He said, "Well, son, I'm ready. I'm ready." And I said, "Ready for what, Dad?" He goes, "I'm ready for heaven. I know the cancer won't take me, but I know this other thing will." And I said, "Dad, any regrets?" And he said, "What do you mean?" "I mean, spiritually speaking. Well, I know I don't have always here. I can't always get it here. But the Lord will help me continue to witness to him with the time I have. I want to. I do have some brothers that aren't saved. I've got some cousins that aren't saved. But I know that I really feel like I've done the best I could with the time I had. And I hope the Lord gives me a sound enough mind to witness a few more times to my brothers and to a few other people." And I thanked him for his example. I thanked him for his testimony. And I don't know what it may be like on the next visit, but I don't want to make it about me, and I don't want to make it about my dad. I want to drive this point home. Let's make sure that our work ethic spiritually is still diligent, is still going forward. And like John Calvin said, I want to do what I can while I can, and I want the Lord to find me faithful when he calls me home or when he returns, whenever that may be. Abundance is good, and there's nothing wrong. But when it supersedes and overrides our service for the Lord, let's make sure we're also abundantly giving back in time of in the Word and in prayer and in ministry and ministering to others. Let's pray. Father, we love you and do thank you for your goodness, the blessings of joy that we have, the abundance of mercy and grace that you have bestowed upon us. And Father, help us to be diligent, and Lord, help us to strive to be spiritually fat as we serve you and know that we can count on your blessings and your provisions as we continue to serve. Now, Father, bless us as we dismiss. Bless our fellowship. Bless our time together. Give us a good week. And, Father, help us to be diligent through this week as we prepare for the Lord's Day on Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, as always, God loves you. His preacher loves you. I can be helped you in any way. Please do not hesitate to ask. God bless you.